Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Ed. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. As we finalize the series of message we've been going through on spiritual warfare. I think of all the things that are happening in this United States of America, the fires that are taking place in California, the hurricanes that have struck so many people and wiped out their complete livelihood, resource, businesses, not just homes. And sometimes we say, I wonder if God is trying to send us a message. And I think that message should be to each one of us, no matter what, the brevity of life and how that everything we have is really fleeting. There's only one place to lay your treasures, and that is to heaven. Amen. And I want us to stand as we read these last couple verses, verses 18 and 19. Actually, we'll read verses 18 through 20. Okay? Along with me, if you would, please. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Tremendous way to end spiritual warfare lessons. How important is prayer? Very important. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, I pray that we'll see the dovetailing of all that is involved with spiritual warfare in the last preparatory verses before the battle. And Lord, I just pray that we as Christians would realize that we prepare for the battles of life every day through prayer. And as we complete the day, Lord, as a time of recollection, rehearsing those events of the day, making sure that we keep short accounts and go before you, confessing our sin, drawing close to you, having fellowship with you before we slip off. Now bless now this opportunity we have of looking into your word, and may your Spirit guide each step of the way. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are three that go hand in hand. I call them a trinity of terms. And that is, there are three things that are essential for us to remain vibrant as individuals and as a church. And first of all, the Word of God. And that is, that is God's divine instruction. He doesn't leave it up to happenstance or our opinion. He has clear divine teaching given to us so that we might understand how we're to live and also to know more about Him. You and I would not as know intimately. Now, He did reveal Himself before we had Scripture in some extraordinary ways. But God's way of revealing Himself to you today and to me is through the Word of God. And not only to reveal Himself to us, but also to give us the roadmap as far as life is concerned. Any individuals that say, I don't like the do's and don'ts of Scripture, every do is important for us to follow, and every don't is important for us to follow. The don'ts are necessary. They're stop signs to disaster. And the do's are those things that we should do that will bring great blessing to our lives. And so, first of all, the Word of God. And secondly, prayer. Prayer is communion with God. I always like to put the word first simply because that's God speaking to you and to me. And secondly, prayer, and that is us praying to God because of the intimate relationship that we have with Him. I think that one of the sweetest ways that you can fellowship with the Lord is just to make the practice of prayer a very important part in your life. And then ultimately this, and that is we pray, and that's what the Scripture talks about. The Scripture, first of all, talks about this living according to the Word of God, and the spiritual armor is for the purpose of seeing the spiritual character that we should have, each one of us, in our lives. And then prayer is our communion with God, making sure that we surrender ourselves to His will and are doing what God wants us to do. But I believe the greatest need and the greatest neglect of us in Christianity today is the fact that we're in the Word to fire up our hearts to give us a greater love for God and a greater love for others. And we are to pray so that we might have a greater love for God and a greater love for others. But there's no greater way that you could show your love for anybody on the face of this earth other than sharing the gospel with them and seeing them saved. Amen? That is the most important thing we can do. If there's one area, and it is interesting here, we talk about all this spiritual warfare, and then the Apostle Paul, after all the implements of our armor are given, we're given the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then the Word of God has this ring, above all, in verse 16, taking the shield of faith. That shield is so important because it renders victory and it protects us from the onslaught of Satan, this world. It helps us to ward off all the attacks that would be sent our way. And then it is interesting, the helmet of salvation, knowing this, that Satan is after our minds, and we are easily deceived at times. The closer you are to the Lord, the more you know the truth, you're handling the truth, you're in the truth. But when you and I get out of the truth, and all of a sudden the distractions of life begin to encumber us and weigh us down, and you lose the time with your Word, you will sense a distant fellowship from the Lord, and you will sense a powerlessness as far as your walk with the Lord is concerned. But ultimately, this is interesting. It ends by saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. It's my calling. An ambassador is a representative of the president, the king, the country. You and I are ambassadors for the Lord. He has chosen to use human instruments to lead other people to Christ. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. And how shall they hear unless they have a preacher? And how they can hear unless that preacher is sent. And so everyone in this room is sent. And I think the burden ought to be every one of this, I wonder of these countless people who lost their lives, I wonder how many of them went to heaven and how many went to hell. And you're hoping and praying that as few as possible go to that terrible place. Because hell is a place of eternity. There's no midway station. There's no purgatory. There's no place where they can resolve their sinful condition and all of a sudden have a new hope. Hell is a place of immediate, eternal hopelessness. And so it's very important to realize that this prayer is setting our mind in order so that we might advance the gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ, before he left, said, advance the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And baptizing name in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. But in this particular portion of Scripture, we have the final prayer before we go to battle. It's a readiness of mind. And there are four things I want us to look at this morning, and that is through this particular, and not all aspects of prayer are in this, but I want to see the elements, some of the elements, specific elements that are found in this particular portion of Scripture that help us in the warfare, warring a good warfare for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, first of all, how to pray. How to pray. The whole context is, starting at that 10th verse, be strong in the Lord. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so we pray, drawing our strength from the Lord. Lord, I can't do this. This is beyond me. It's beyond my wisdom. And God, I don't have the resource to handle this situation. Have you ever said that? I'm telling you what, so many times I have said to myself, this is beyond me. And when we think of this soldiering, we think of 2 Timothy chapter 2, where there's two great warnings, and that in that the first warning is found in the fact that we are to endure hardness as good soldiers. And so endurance is a major factor, and that is don't quit. Don't quit. You know, there are people who are out of church today. They got offended, they got hurt, and they're out of church because of that offense. And somehow they feel justified. Well, I've got a reason. Listen, there is no reason for not being in a good fundamental, and I put emphasis on Baptist church too, but we're not the only ones going to heaven. I realize that. Amen? And so there's no reason, if you let anything stop you, because this church is the church of the living God. It's not our church, it's the Lord's church, amen? And I tell you what, if you're a Christian, you should want to be around God's people. And so we pray, drawing our strength from the Lord. And secondly, how to pray, we dress ourselves in the armor of God. And that is, we live righteously and godly and holy in this day. And I love the Peteran epistle that says, he hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything that you need to live, know about living victoriously, God has given us in his word. Are you glad about that? And so we are dressed in the armor of the Lord. We pray dressed in the armor of the Lord, and that is we're ready for battle. We're living a righteous life. We're living victoriously. We're not living in defeat. And that doesn't mean at times you're not defeated, but you ought not to be living in defeat. Amen? We ought to be living in victory. And thirdly, we ought to be how to pray, and that is depending upon the Spirit of the Lord. The Word of God says very clearly in this passage, it is interesting. What it says is it enters into praying always, in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication, what? In the Spirit. Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ at Gethsemane prayed in the Spirit? How do you know that he prayed in the Spirit? And how do you know that you're praying in the Spirit? Because he was able to say, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. When you and I are praying in the Spirit of God, we're surrendering to the will of God, not our will. Because our will is, Lord, let everything in my life be good. And God says, that's not always the way that you grow. Sometimes the way that you grow is by going through what Job went through. Loss of material possessions. Loss of your family. Loss of your health. And it takes a real Christian to say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, be pleased to do it. Then you can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. If the Lord takes me, whatever the Lord wants to do, if he wants to take my life, let it be so. You know, the closer you get to the other side, the more you realize how short life is. Man, you look in the mirror and say, what happened? Where'd all these wrinkles come from? And I can't look in the mirror anymore without putting my glasses on. Sometimes that frightens me too. But we look at ourselves and we see how life is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while. So short a time to live for the Lord. We can do it, can't we? Praying in the Spirit. The Word of God says in this epistle, those that live in the Spirit walk in the Spirit. You see, we're supposed to live through the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit of God. He is always communicating to us. You say, well, I never hear him communicating to me. He is. Wherever you go, he goes. But I think the danger is this, telling the Holy Spirit, now you step into that room of my life and you stay there, Holy Spirit. I'm going to lock the door, and when I need you, I'll call on you. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God should be a part of all of our lives all the day. Amen? And we know that we're not walking in the Spirit when we fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we are to pray, drawing from the strength of the Lord, dressed in the armor of the Lord, depending upon the Spirit of the Lord, and diligent in our alertness of watching. In Matthew 26, verse 41, at the greatest hour of Christ's prayer, it was the greatest prayer that Christ prayed. It was such a prayer and anguish of soul, he literally dropped blood from his face. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Now, medically speaking, my father-in-law loved this passage. He said, I, as a physician, know that it is medically true that in a person in the greatest state of anguish, literally the capillaries of the face burst and you sweat blood. And so I look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Some believe this. Jesus Christ won the victory for us at Gethsemane. Because when he got up off his knees, he was going all the way. But he told his disciples, friends, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And what was that temptation? The temptation was to flee, and the temptation was to deny. That was the temptation that was being spoken of. The temptation to flee, the temptation to deny. You know, you can deny the Lord without saying, I don't believe in the Lord. You can deny the Lord in your actions by the way that you live. And you can deny the Lord, the Lord in your actions by not speaking out for him, by being quiet. This thing that has happened to this wicked movie director, everybody knows about it. My understanding is now he's flown the country, and I say it's a good thing. Even some wicked people are standing up and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. You know something? In some of them, even another one that is about as wicked as many, and you know who I'm talking about, Jane Fonda, says this, you know something? I should have voiced this a long time ago. I should have been one of the ones to stand. And that's right. Listen, we are not to be quiet about that which is wrong. And if even a wicked person understands that, we of all people ought to understand it. Not to be quiet when we know what is good. For him that knoweth to do good and to do it not, to him it is sin. And it is right for us to witness, and it is wrong for us not to witness. The temptation to be quiet. The temptation not to offend anybody with the gospel. But the gospel's going to bring offense. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And that sword is dividing families. There are individuals in here that are saved, and your family members are not saved, and you don't agree. You don't live the same way. You see, I don't agree with that. I as a Christian cannot tolerate that. Watch. A sobriety and alertness. Because your adversary, the devil, roams about as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then when to pray. When to pray. The Word of God says, praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Always, when the sun rises and when the sun sets. During the quiet hours of the night, when the Holy Spirit of God wakes you up and say, you know something, it's time to get on your knees and pray. I tell you what, every person in here that is walking with the Lord has nighttime awakenings. And that is when the Lord will wake you up and tell you to get on your knees. He'll lay something on your heart. It is clear as a bell what you need to do. And sometimes it'll be about a need that arises in your own personal life. And he says, you need to get up and pray about this. Just don't worry. You want to dispel worry? Pray! Then David said, evening and morning and noon would I pray. And the Muslims are fervent in praying three times a day, looking toward Mecca. We don't look toward Mecca. That's a temporary place. We look to heaven, where the real God lives. We pray to heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We start out with the very dwelling place of God. Our Father. Not in Jerusalem. Not in Mecca. Which art in heaven. The one that created everything. The one is able to meet every need that I could ever pray about. And so we are to pray always, the Word of God says, praying always. And then we're to pray for special requests that are made to us according to this text. In verse 19, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me in verse 19. When special requests are made for prayer, the Apostle Paul says, pray for me. I say everyone on this pastoral staff, we don't want to be selfish, but we need to pray. We need to request that you pray for us. We need your prayers. I need your prayers more than anything in life. You have been so generous to myself and my family. But I tell you what brings joy to my heart is what I hear you say, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Because I know how much I need it. I know how much I desire it. And not only pray when the sun rises and sets and during the quiet hours of the night, but pray when special requests are made for prayer. If you say you're going to pray for it, pray for it. And then when you sense a special need in your life or the lives of others, sometimes God will give you an alertness as far as meeting a special need. Sometimes that need is in the area of prayer. Sometimes that special need is in the area of a need that they have in their life, and you can address that need. And what the Holy Spirit is telling you to go ahead and to take care of that need. But it's an immediate action of prayer, and that is how the Lord deals with your heart. And you simply say, yes. You pray back to heaven, yes, Lord, I will do what you tell me to do. There are certain individuals in this church that have keen spiritual awareness. And when anyone is hurting, they're there and they're sensing the need. Many Christians are oblivious to the needs of others. They're so life is so busy, we have a tendency to focus on our own lives. And let me tell you something. I think it's a very selfish thing to do. I think it's a very selfish thing to do. Pray when the sun rises and sets and during the quiet hours of the night, and then pray for special requests, and then pray when you sense a need in your life and in your personal life. Lord, I'm away from you. I need to draw close to you. I've got this special need, and there's an urgency for you to meet the need in my life and in the lives of others as well. And then whenever the Lord burdens your heart, during the course of the day, I love one statement, our days ought to be punctuated with periods of prayer. And it is not a merely three time a day thing, evening and morning at noon. But if you and I are walking with the Lord, we're in a continual prayer mode. Because our God is real and He is there. It's not something we have to dial up. Are you there today? Are you sleeping, God? Aren't you glad that He never sleeps nor slumbers? Aren't you glad when you have your need, He is right there? He's not at a distant land. I get tickled when Elijah says, okay, guys, pray out to your God. Maybe He's sleeping, or maybe He's in a distant country. Our God is in distance. He is ever present. He's right with you. And then who to pray for. We're to pray for all saints. And I think this is important. He starts out this way, and I think it's important for us. And that is, that kind of prayer is selfless. We always have a tendency to pray for our needs, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we as believers ought to pray for others. Pastor David Frank Garlock loved to sing about prayer. Lord, help me live in such a way that even while I kneel to pray, what's the prayer? Others. Lord, yes, others. May this my motto be, help me to pray for others. Is that your motto? Another one of his favorites was this, and I remember the choir song. I can tell every, on BBN they play choir, they play a lot of Garlock's choir numbers. I was there when a lot on this one particular album came out. I was there when the choir sang that song, those songs about prayer. And oh, did it bless my heart. Somehow the Savior seems a little near when I kneel down to pray, and fellowship with Him a little dear when I kneel down to pray. I tarry there with Christ a little longer when I kneel down to pray, and rise to face the world a little stronger when I kneel down to pray. I know that He will always hear me, for He is never far away, and yet He feels a little closer to me when I kneel down to pray. Ah, it's a close relationship, and it's a sweet fellowship, and God wants us to pray for all saints. And then the Word of God says, the Apostle Paul says in verse 19, and for me, he was the leader. He was basically the greatest perpetuator of the gospel of the New Testament, perhaps. And yet he said, I'm your leader, and I need your prayers. Pray for me. And not only that, but prays for those in need of salvation. And that's what he says when he goes on to say, and that utterance may be given unto me. What utterance is he talking about? The proclamation of the gospel. The proclamation of the gospel. And so praying for all saints, pray for leadership, and pray for those in need of salvation. And then finally, and yours is blocked out in this area. Sorry about that, but that little box there took out the last one. But what to pray for? He specifically asks what to pray for. And God wants us to be specific. Now he says that God would open doors for the gospel to be preached. And that's what he says in verse 19 when he says, and pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And it is a mystery, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says. And when it talks about that great verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where it says, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. You read the context, and the whole context was a revelation coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I came to you not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand upon the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. He goes on to say, if they would have known who they crucified, they would have never crucified Him. But it was a mystery to them. And pray that I may speak boldly, and this mystery, this unknown thing to the unsaved, might become light. that they might be saved. This is the context for the whole spiritual warfare. That God would open doors for the gospel to be preached. And that, number two, that God would grant boldness to proclaim the gospel when that door does open. He asks for boldness two times. That I may open my mouth boldly in verse 19. In verse 20, that for I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly. You can't speak boldly without the help of the Lord. If you've got your head in the sand and you're entangled with the affairs of this life, no man entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him, that is you, to be a good soldier. A soldier. He doesn't want you to be just a soldier. He wants you to be a good soldier. I think too many Christians are AWOL or missing in action. Let me tell you something. This whole thing about the gospel is not just for you and for me. It's for a world that is going to hell. There are more people going to hell today than there are to heaven. The need is great. And the Word of God says, rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. I think all of us know this. There's something wrong that is pulling us away from strapping on all of the spiritual armor in readiness to go to battle. And you're not threatened as much when you're sitting in your room reading your Bible. And you're not threatened as much when you're on your knees praying. That doesn't mean there's not going to be a warfare. Because remember what I said about Christ. Christ won the battle at Gethsemane when he got up off his knees. The battle was sealed. And all of this, if your heart, if you're in the Word as you should be, it'll warm your heart to reach the lost. And if it's not warming your heart, there's something wrong. You got it? And I think that in Christianity today, our churches across America, we may be in our Bibles and we may be praying. But when you go out to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan is there, ready to attack and destroy. Hey, listen. What we can do is we can, you know, today most churches grow by attrition, getting other individuals in from other churches. And I understand that there's some really reasonable matters that people switch churches. And I'm not saying that's a sin. Please. While some of the most precious people have gone through great conflicts, and they're here, not of their desire. But something happened and they had to take a stand. They had to do right. But I'm saying this, friends. We can count on someone from another church coming into Grace Baptist Church. But the fact of the matter is, we are disobedient if we are not growing by going and seeing people saved. It's a burden on my heart for me personally. And it's a burden for me, every person in this room. If you're not trying to win souls, you're disobedient. You don't have the heart of Christ, because Christ said, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I'm telling you what, you study your brain out. And I tell you what I do, I love it. There's nothing more I love in the Word of God. It keeps me encouraged. It blesses me. It gives me instruction. And I love to pray, and I'm making that more of a part of my life than ever before. But the greatest need of my life, and I think if we are honest, we could say all of our lives, we need to get busy in witnessing, because we're disobedient. We're disobedient. Nothing more exciting than seeing someone saved in the joy of the Lord lit across their face and the peace that passes understanding grip their hearts and souls. Nothing greater than that. I love to see new babies born. Life. Went to take that special gift to Jonathan Bethany Beasley that you folks so graciously participated in, so many. And how many of they just wept over it? I wanted to see the little one, but wasn't able to see it. But you know something? Though that little one is looking forward to all kinds of surgery, you're going to have to take a rib out in order to frame the jawbone of the face, and then they extend the jaw for surgery and things like this. But you know something? In spite of all the deformities and all the future surgeries, they just love that baby. They just love that baby. It's exciting to see something come to life. Amen? And everyone here that has had a child knows how blessed it is. In the time we started having spiritual babies, in the time that we saw this place across here filled with people going out to knock on, you say, doors aren't the way to do it anymore. Well, what way do you do it? What are you doing? If it's nothing, it's wrong. I am come to seek and save that which is lost. Can I ask you to do this? Can I ask you and me to get the heart of Christ and to quit lying when we don't really have the heart of Christ? Well, I'm busy. Oh, yeah, too busy to obey the Lord? That's busy. And I don't think that's going to be a good excuse before glory. Can I challenge you today to do this as the Apostle Paul prayed? I want you to pray for all saints. All of those individuals that have been saved, because at that time there was awesome persecution. And the saints need to pray, be prayed for, because they're suffering greatly. Hebrews chapter 10. They're suffering greatly because of their stand for the gospel. And I want you to pray that Christians would get an Holy Spirit boldness so that the word of God would go out and so that people would be saved. God forgive us as Christians for not birthing children into the kingdom of God. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many would say today, oh, I rejoice in the fact that one day the door, Lord, dealt with my heart, most of you through some human being that taught a Sunday school class, some mother, father, some grandfather, some Sunday school teacher, some neighbor, some brother or sister in Christ, shared the gospel with you and you got saved. And today you sit here today still standing amazed that God loved you enough to save you. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Is there any here today you could not raise your hand? You're being honest, and I appreciate that honesty. And today you'd say, you know something? I do not know for sure if I were to die today I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to. I need to. Would you just raise your hand just for a moment? Being honest, the Holy Spirit knows you're not saved. You know that it's troubling your soul. By uplifted hand, would you say, pray for me? Yes, yes. Any others? Yes. Thank you very much. Yes. Any others? Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. Now, Christian, let me bear my heart with you. Do you want Grace Baptist Church to grow by souls being saved? If you do, would you raise your hand? I want Grace Baptist Church to grow by souls being saved. Thank you. Thank you. We agree, don't we? Now, we agree, but are we willing to go? Are we willing to go? And this morning, if you're willing to go, and you haven't been willing to go, I ask you this morning to make a commitment to go. Everyone standing at your feet, if you would. 235 near to the heart of God. There may be other needs we didn't even preach on. You're burdened about something, and you need to take that thing to the Lord. This is the time that you can do that. And we encourage you to do that, to get closer to the Lord, to take your nearest, dearest needs to Him, knowing that He desires to meet the needs of your life, because if you're a Christian, He loves you. And so as we sing this invitation hymn, if there are others who would like to come forward for membership, we invite you to come. But let this be a time of the Lord dealing with each of our hearts and lives. And I pray that today will be a day of obedience. As we sing this invitation hymn, we invite you to come.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart.